dragon in. You know, Martin Luther, when he started the Reformation, Martin Luther, while he was a priest, but when he started the Reformation, he wound up in the Lutheran church, he wound up marrying a nun. And so one day he's walking in a house, and he'd been walking around for about a week or so, and he just walked around just drooping around the house and just drooping in his prayers and drooping with the word. He said, droop, 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 droop. And his wife come to him, and she said, and she was dressed in black. He said, why are you dressed in black? He said, because God's dead. He said, excuse me. He said, God's dead. He died. She says, don't you know that God's not dead? God cannot be killed. God is almighty. God is all powerful. God is the beginning and the end. He's got all power, all anointing. He's all in one. How in the world can you say God's dead? She said, well, it ain't right.
Yes.
Amen, bro.
That's right. That's right. Hey, God's in control. Let's act right.
Amen.
All right. I was looking. there's been a lot of praying for people about, reminding me of this joke. I thought you're going through, but it reminded me of this story. Here it is. A dinner speaker was in such a hurry, and my daddy is the number one. A dinner speaker was in such a hurry to get to his engagement, that when he arrived and sat down at the head of the table, he suddenly realized that he forgot his false teeth. That's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Turned to the man next to him and complained. He said, I forgot my teeth. What am I going to do now? The man said, no problem. The man reached into his pocket and pulled out a pair of false teeth. Try these, he said. The speaker tried them on and said, two loops. The man said, there ain't no problem. I got another pair. So he reached into the other pocket and pulled out another pair and said, try these. The speaker tried them on and responded, these are too tight. The man weren't taking back at all. He said, I got another pair in my other pocket. So he reached into the other pocket and says, try these. The speaker put them in. They fit perfectly. But then he ate his meal and gave his speech. And at the dinner meeting, when it was over, the speaker went to thank the man who had helped him. He said, I want to thank you for coming to my aid. Where is your office? I've been looking for a good dentist. The man replied, I'm not a dentist, I'm an undertaker. y'all got to admit, that was... My father-in-law said he needs some balls. He went to the dentist and he got some. He went to the dentist and they went like $1,000, $2,000. This is way back. So he went for a lot without teeth. And then one day he had some teeth just as shining. I said, I thought you said they were too high. He said, I found some for $25. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, but I had, I said, really? $25? He said, yeah, but I had to go to the funeral home to get them. He said, I tried on 10 pairs before I found the ones that fit. He said, I carried them back after a week and got another pair. I said, I thought you said they fit. He said, yeah, but they belong to a woman and they about taught me to death. Okay, moving on. I think that was cute. All right. All right. I could have said a woman and a man's teeth. All right. We're going to finish this up today. And this is really, 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 really awesome that we don't know when you're working on sermons and stuff, but things happen like Israel. You know, Israel being attacked should shake you to the core.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of 9/11. If 9/11 didn't shake you to the core, something's wrong. Because you know something very terrible had happened and a lot of people had died. You know, this is the same way now. You know, and so it's really, really bad. And so we need to pray for God to handle this, because in all of it, even Israel's response, there's going to be some collateral damage. Y'all know what collateral damage is. That's when innocent people get hurt, when they get killed. So there's already been 200 to 250 lives on the Gaza Strip have already been taken in a counterattack, and Israel's trying not to try to use precision strikes, but at the same time, because there's so many millions of people in a little bitty area, that they're going to wind up hitting people that's not guilty. So this whole thing is just, no matter how you look at it, There's no limits. None. There's no limits.
Nope.
And so let's just pray for God. Do something special. But now's the time. Now's the time for this, okay? Now this is, of course, it is, excuse me. I didn't know how to put it other than excuse me. And we're talking about excuses. So I'm not going to go totally over everything from last week, but I'm going to pick up from last week to bring in to this week. Has anybody noticed that the world has gone crazy?
Yeah.
And the wild thing is that I had no idea what was going to happen yesterday. Nothing. I had no idea what was going on. I was busy working on my sermon, and Jason, and y'all were the ones. Y'all hadn't told me. I went 900 times. I don't look at the news. I was looking at Home Improvement.
We don't either.
Yeah, I was looking at Home Improvement, but y'all told me, you know, I started looking at it there, and there it was. They just blew me away. And it's been stuck there ever since. A couple of times, my wife said, we got to change channels for just a minute. Go watch a Western so you can breathe again. Amen. So it's been something. Anybody ever notice that the world has gone crazier since last week? Okay? Now is not the time to lay low. Now is not the time to stay in the shadows. Now is the time for the church to rise and shine. Okay, whenever darkness hits the earth, the church always shines. If you look in the book of Acts, the church of Acts did not grow when things were going good. The church of Acts always grew when there was problems and when there were satanic attacks. That's when they grew. The Bible said, talk about the sorcerers and Satan, and saying that end up saying the church grew mightily. Because honestly, it's during that time, when everything's going great, we don't get our eyes on God. We get our eyes off God and on the blessing. when things get going tough, we get our eyes off the blessing and get our eyes back on the blesser. And so that's what we're doing now. We're a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We're the salt of this world. We're the light of this world. So we've got to make sure that we stay on top of things. But instead, I've noticed this over and over and over. I catch my own self and have to stop myself in the middle sometimes. We've become a generation of excuses. I've heard so many excuses. My glasses, you know, when I got my glasses, I weren't told how these things were going to be. And once I got them, and I'm stumbling over things and falling out of stairs and all kinds of stuff, pretending I can't see and knocking over stuff. And they went, well, didn't they tell you that you can only, when you put these glasses on, you can only see this is your field of vision, it's right here? I said, y'all neglected to tell me that. And your eyes, they didn't get prescriptions right. So now, not only can I only see here, but it's kind of like seeing here and pulling down a little bit because I can't see everything. And so I keep asking them to fix them. And this is the third try. I'm still wearing these. And I'll keep hearing excuses. Well, I'm tired of hearing excuses. I can't see. And my vision's getting worse. And so that's the time that we're living in. You go to the service desk. Or go ask, can you tell me where something's at? And they'll go, here's nothing good. This is their pat answer. But did you see it on the floor? Oh, no, ma'am, that's why I'm asking you. But if you didn't see it on the floor, we ain't got it.
Yeah.
And I walk around and find it. And I go around and say, well, I have to find one that you said is not here. You know, because we live in a generation of excuses and just get by. All right? So now, this generation that we're living in, we've traded our excellence. We've traded excellence for excuses. Instead of searching for ways for a way to be excellent, we actually are searching for an excuse to explain mediocrity. I get tired of hearing it. But it's COVID. But it's the economy. But I don't have any time. I don't have any money. And this attitude of money for this attitude is crept into the church. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you something again. I want you to understand there's a difference in a reason and an excuse. A reason is a real thing. If you're sick, that's a reason. You know, if you got a flat tire, that's a reason. If your car won't crank, that's a reason. If you lost your job, that's a reason. If you got to work, that's a reason. But if you got to come up and start dilly-dallying, tell them it's time to think of something. And I had somebody one time, they made an excuse. They kept saying, bring me to church. If you'll come pick me up, I'll go to church with you. Come bring me up, I'll go to church with you. I get there on Sunday morning and they say, this is no joke. They go, well, I can't come this morning because such and such. I said, come back next week. So I come back next week. And they said, well, I was, but, you know. And after about the third week, I told my wife, I'm going to fix this. And she said, what you going to do? And this was somebody in my family. I took a jar, a mason jar, and I put in things like, I need to wash my hair. I need to wash the car. The blow dryer broke. The dog won't bark. You know, the dog's got fleas. Whatever. And I put them in that jar. I walked up and they said, I was going to go to church, but I said, no, no buts. Here you go. And I opened up the jar and said, here, pick one. And they said, excuse me. I said, I'm going to save you the time of trying to figure out a new excuse every week. Just pull out of the jar.
Good for you. Good for you.
And she said, well, my dog's got fleas. Yes, but how's that going to stop me? I said, the same way everything else every week stopped you. The same way.
Amen.
You know what? They said, throw the jar away, please. Look at it. So there's a difference in a reason and an excuse. There's no time to make excuses. We need to be optimistic. We need to believe in ourselves. How many's ever heard of the beast mode? People that's working out, the beast mode is you're working out. People that are doing things, you know, you're on your job and you're trying to get things done. Let's go to beast mode. Let's get this done. And it's amazing what can happen when we go into beast mode somewhere. Here, this is it. Here's where we're going to stop from last week. I'm not talking about the other stuff we talked about last week. But yeah, I couldn't leave these out. He's just good for making excuses and selling goods for anything else. Excuses are the crutches for the uncommitted. Excuses are merely nails used to build a house of fame. Now, I use these all the time at Fountain. Somebody come up and go, yeah, but. And I go, I tell them this, they quit yeah-butting me. Excuses will always be there, but the opportunity won't. Very, very, very powerful. So now, here was where we stopped last week. I gave you a couple of excuses, and I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm just going to give so you have all five. Moses, God's calling Moses. And when God's calling Moses, Moses has been in the desert 40 years. He's 80 years old. If anybody had a call in their life, it was Moses. If anybody had falls and failure in their life, it was Moses. How many had failure in your life? How many saw, was it this morning? I think it was just this morning or yesterday morning. Mighty Army. Here it is. Here it is this morning. The more you fail, the more you win. It's a law no one can break.
That's true.
That's powerful. So don't think because you've fallen or you failed that God can't use you. There was a man years ago who had worked at IBM, and he made a $70,000 mistake. And this is like 20 years ago, but $70,000 was wow compared to now. He made a $70,000 mistake, and some of the corporate guys said, why don't you fire this guy? Fire him, he said. He said, I'm going to give him a raise. He said, why? He said, because I just spent $70,000 teaching him what not to do. That's true. That's a true story. All right. So Moses had a big mission, but his big mission was overshadowed by his omissions, by his big excuses. I'm gonna read this. Get your Bible out if you want to. Exodus chapter 3. Mark it in your Bible so you better go back to it, not forget it. Moses chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token of thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on his mountain. So God's not only saying, I'm calling you, but it's good as done. It's already done. You haven't seen it yet, but I'm telling you, when you come back, it's going to be awesome here. In other words, you're going to do this thing. I know you don't see it. I know you don't understand how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to children of Israel, they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent me unto thee. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name for you forever, and this is my memorial for all generations. Stop right there. He didn't say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. He didn't. Israel was after God, got working on Jacob, wrestled with him, and Jacob became a prince with God, Israel. But until that time, he was conniving. He's always figuring out things on his own. Even his name means heel catcher. He was always trying to get things underhanded. So God said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm even God of that underhanded rat, Jacob. Wow. If he can use Jacob, I promise you he can use us. Amen? So go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done unto you in the Egypt. And he said, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken not to thy voice, and they shall come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me, have met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey in the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all the wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, what caused these five big excuses? What caused them? Number one, he was focused on what ifs, not what is. Let me change that, not just to what ifs. I tell people this when I'm counseling. I tell people this at the detention center all the time. I want you to think about this. Whenever you have a challenge before you, or if you spend your nights awake saying, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I shoulda, coulda, woulda. You're fighting in the past depressing thoughts. But if you're lying awake at night and going, what if they don't miss him? What if they don't care? What if I can't make it? What if I lose my job? What if? That's anxiety. Most people walk around this earth with anxiety and depressive thoughts beating them all the time. What if? Surely coulda, woulda. What if? Surely coulda, woulda. We need to be saying, God is here. God is in control. By fact, here's what you say. When you hear, and you hear this, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. When you hear, what if? Here's what I want you to practice saying. I am here, and so is God. I am safe. Say that. Say it with me. I am here, and so is God. I am safe. Try one more time. I am here, I'm with God, and I am safe. Whenever shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if? So Moses has got the shoulda, coulda, woulda because he tried to deliver the children of Israel under his own hand, and he made a blunder of everything. And not only did Egypt get mad at him, Israel got mad at him. So now he's wondering, if that shoulda, coulda, woulda didn't work, what if I tried again and the shoulda, coulda, woulda's come by? Man, we do that stuff all the time. But look at Moses. How can Moses think that way? Look at what's thinking. Look, God's got him. And then we do the same thing. All the time. So watch this. Instead of what is, let's start talking about what is. You know, excuses, think about this. Excuses are a killer. And you think excuses, Satan loves excuses because it's a dream killer. Excuses matched up with his cousin, procrastination. They go hand in hand. And they bring your potential to a dead stop. Pah! So you need to get excuses and procrastination out of your life and out of your vocabulary. So here it is. Excuse, excuse number one, who am I? He said, who am I? that I should go out and get these people. See, Moses struggled with a spiritual identity crisis. Have you ever had a spiritual identity crisis? You just didn't feel qualified. He thought God had picked the wrong man. We think the same thing. God will tell you, I want you to go help that person over there. I want you to talk to this person. Or I want you to trust me in this. I need you to do something. And he goes, God, you got the wrong man. You got the wrong person because I'm not qualified. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. There's a difference.
Amen.
Amen? Let me say that one more time. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And so whatever God wants, he will put in front of you. A lot of men are looking for these great old big things to have. Pulpits. Not realizing that your pulpit is your workstation. That your pulpit can be in the grocery store or that shopping cart. The pulpit can be at the nursery. The pulpit can be on your lap as you hold your children on your knee. That's where the pulpits are. Don't keep looking for this kind of pulpit. Look for the pulpits God puts in your path every single day of your life. Amen? All right. So, God's response, it don't matter. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm with you. Remember what we tell the what is and should have been with us? I'm here. God is with me. And look, I'm safe. I'm here. God is with me. And I'm safe. Amen? Ain't got to live over this place. This hadn't happened yet. I can't change this. Right now, in front of me. So now, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. 2 Timothy 1:9. So the first excuse is, who am I? The second excuse is, well, who are you, God? We'll just stop right there and camp for a minute. Who are you, God? Look. He didn't know God well enough to even describe him to the people and lack convictions concerning his relationship with God. So God really gave him, the first time I heard this, I didn't know what to think. And I remember watching Charlton Heston at the Rock, at the Burning Bush. I remember seeing him and he's asking God, who is this? And when God said this, you know, my mama's sitting there beside me, and mama spoke it, you know, verbatim. And so I'm hearing Charlton Heston and God's voice, and I'm hearing mama in the background. And I turn to mama and said, what does that mean? Well, I'm getting ready to show you. She goes, not sure. But it's awesome, man. God's response, I am who I am. We can't always understand this, but it's awesome, man. Just like mama said. I'm ever present. I'm everything you need. I am here. When you got God's presence, that makes all the difference in the world. When God's presence is with you, it can assure success. It assures victory because God is with you. Now, therefore, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7:9. Now we're getting ready to go to another. We just going on these. We're going to keep right on going here. Ready? That's excuse number two. Excuse number three. Have you ever said any of these excuses? Who am I? Who are you?
Yeah.
What about this? Well, what if they don't listen? I can promise you, I'm going to be 5, and I can have 12 guys sitting in a group. And I know half of them aren't listening. I can be in church and I can look out at the congregation. I'm going, yep, that's not going anywhere. They got that McDonald's look in their eye. You can see the dancing sugar plums in their head.
You deserve a break.
Now, what's one about McDonald's for Big Mac? You know, 7 things. All Big Macs, special sauce, special cheese, pickles, onions, on the sesame seed bun. Yeah, I see y'all like that sometime.
Yeah.
I'm going to. All Big Macs, special sauce, special cheese, pickles, onions, on the sesame seed bun. Yeah. All right. But I can't say anything because, you know you're a preacher when you dream you're preaching and wake up in your heart. That's a boring sermon. You ever been to some services so bad that my leg went to sleep and I got jealous? All right, you're in. Get carried away a little way. Ready? Intimidated. Moses felt intimidated. He was worried about what the people's reaction would be to him. If you worry about what people's reaction is going to be to you, you will never do anything for God. There's guys, not just in the detention center, there's guys in church. There was a guy at my first church. He wouldn't talk to me. He acted like I had the plague. He wouldn't have anything to do with me. And if I couldn't walk into him, he'd hold his hand down, and he'd walk the other way. He only came there because of his mother. That's the only reason he came. And one day, he had a tragedy in his life. And when he had his tragedy, I went immediately to him. And I walked up to him with all these people around him. And I'm the one, I kept telling his mama, don't worry, there's going to come a time that me and him are going to lock arms. Not horns, arms. And she said, I don't think so. I said, yeah, there is. You watch. And she said, no, I said, I'm just going to keep on being me. I'm going to keep on loving him. And I'm going to sit and you watch God do the rest. And so this tragedy had happened. And I walked in the room. And all his family was around. They were comforting him. And when he saw me, he looked and he hollered. A big old holler with tears. And he said, Brother David! And he ran to me and fell on my arms. I fell on him. And we sat there for 30 minutes and all we did was cry. We spoke to him, we just cried. When he finally stopped crying, he said, I can't take it anymore. I need God's comfort, I need God's help. And I said, well, you know what you need? He says, yes. I've been running. Yes, I know what I need. And so we prayed the sinner's prayer. And from that time on, it's amazing. Not only did he get strong in church, but me and him were like that. You see, you can't be intimidated. Or people look like they don't want to hear what you got to say, or you're worried about their reaction to you. It's not your reaction to me that I'm worried about, concerned about. I'm concerned about your reaction to God. That's the most important. So, God's response, when I'm finished, they'll listen. When I'm through with you, they're going to listen to you. You watch. Timothy was a very young man. Timothy was a young man, but he had a call in his life, and Paul knew this. And so Paul needed Timothy as a bishop to hang on to things in Ephesus. And so Timothy said, I don't think I can do this. He says, you can do this. I believe in you. And so he made him the bishop of this area and to take care of all the churches. And the Bible even talked about it. It got on his nerves and it got on him so bad that he said, that's what he told him, said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. I'm talking about his nerves were so bad, he was just tore up on the inside because of the great responsibility on him. And so Paul knows about this great responsibility and how he's reacting. So here's what he says. He says, Timothy, for God did not give you the spirit of fear or timidity, of cowardice, of craving and following fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, and of love, and of calm, well-balanced mind, discipline and self-control. One translation of sound mind is the ability to think under pressure. The ability to think under pressure. Have you ever been under pressure? Your mind was just racing. I always pull this out. I pull this out and I hang on to it. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control, or the ability to think under pressure. So now, number four. This is something. When I get through here, you're going to see this is very powerful. He said, but I've never been a good speaker. Okay. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 10. Kelly, there four.
1, 1, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4. Here he is.
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow speech and a slow tongue. Hold on to that for a minute. Remember, excuses. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verse 22. Just hold it for a minute. He said, never been a good speaker. Moses spread about his inadequacies. He said, who would listen to him? He can't even speak with. Okay? But God responds, guess who made your mouth? I did. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, and that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, y'all read this with me out loud. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Ready? Remember, Moses said, I can't speak. I stutter, I can't speak. Ready? And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds.
Amen.
Let's just stop right there for a minute. 40 years before, you got King Moses. You got a man that has been trained in all the sciences. He was like an engineer. He had leadership ability. He was trained in all kinds of leadership. He was trained in all kinds of engineering. And let me just read the NLT version of this, which translates these words better. Moses was taught in all wisdom of the Egyptians. He was powerful both in speech and action. He was powerful in speech and action. But that was 40 years before. Now, after 40 years in the wilderness, he said, I don't talk good. Let me ask you a question. How many's ever had any wilderness experiences in your life? How many of you went into the fear experience or the wilderness experience, you had a different opinion about yourself and your abilities than you have now since you've been through the wilderness? Okay? Let me tell you something about the wilderness. God puts us, he'd been in the desert for 40 years. He had this wilderness experience. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? What's the difference? Jesus, 40 days, that's the number of trials. Moses, 40 years. It's because Moses, man, he thought something of himself. And God had to get that out of him. He was a king, and he needed that. He was an engineer. He needed that. He was a leader. He needed that. But he needed to have a shepherd's heart. And so until he could break that attitude and bring in that shepherd's heart, he was in that wilderness for 40 years. Now, what's God doing in the wilderness? The wilderness teaches us, number one, not to depend on ourselves. Number one. You go in the wilderness, it teaches you not to depend on yourself. Number two, it teaches you not to depend on your feelings. And number three, it teaches you not to depend on your own resources. Ready? Self, feelings, and resources. I cannot depend on myself, my abilities. I cannot depend on my feelings, and I cannot depend on my resources. When I get in the desert, in the wilderness, because all that stuff I thought I was, maybe I wasn't as big and bad as I thought it was. Amen? But when you get on the other side, what you've done is, you've learned not to depend on self, feelings, and resources, but you've learned to depend on God, faith, not feelings, but depend on God, not yourself, faith, not your feelings, and depend on God's resources, not your own. So, maybe there was a time you were chomping at the bit and said, man, we got this! And then you've gone through this wilderness. and it drug on and on and on and on and on. And I understand God, and one time I thought I had it, man, I was feeling good. And I had everything I needed. And God said, that's it. Self-dealings and resources. I need you to say, God, you got everything I need, and I'm not feeling anymore. I'm walking by faith, and I'm not trusting my resources. I'm trusting yours. That's what the wilderness is for. And I thank God for that. I don't like it, but I thank him for it. I've seen, look, I've seen young ministers. I've seen people that before the wilderness and seen them after the wilderness. And man, oh man, the difference was night and day. Because before the wilderness, I'm not too sure. But after the wilderness, wow, something special happened. Before, there was pride. Afterwards, there's humility and something special. Faith that has been tried and proven. Faith that has not been tried is not faith at all. So I see this on the other side of something very, very powerful. So you may be coming out of the wilderness now thinking you're a nobody, you're a nothing, that you have been trained, that you don't have the mind anymore, you don't have the feeling anymore. And I'm telling you, that's why he puts you in the wilderness, so you won't depend on yourself, that you won't trust your feelings, that you'll trust faith, and you won't worry about your resources, you'll trust God's. But I promise you, your stock is going through the roof right now. Just trust God in all of this. Amen? Trust him. Get on a hand tight and pray. Trust him. Now, final excuse. Here we go. I know you've never said this. Never! I'm preaching wrong. I know I'm preaching wrong. People out of this one. Come on, God, can't you find somebody else? God didn't get mad with you. But the other excuses, he got upset now. Can't you find somebody else? You see, Moses was feeling so inferior. Even after God talked to him and told him all the things he was going to do with him, the wilderness had drained him of that pride and that ego. It had drained him of that self-dependence. So now that God's putting him back where he came from. Remember, shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if? God's putting him back in the shoulda, coulda, woulda. But now, instead of shoulda, coulda, woulda, now what is beating him up too? Here's the problem I see all the time. We compare ourselves to others. Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
We compare ourselves to others. Even his brother. And I think I saw his brother Aaron. He said, you know what? I come up short. I can't do this. And God said, okay, I'll let Aaron go with you, but I'm still calling you to go. Matter of fact, he said, Aaron can be your mouthpiece. Well, when he got there, guess who did all the talking? Moses. Once he stepped in to that freshness that came from the wilderness, wow, that's so, so powerful. Jeremiah 29:11, the message, I love this. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. You may be in the wilderness now. There was 40 years. Moses was treated like a king. There's 40 years. Moses is in the backside of the desert as a shepherd. The next 40 years, he's a pastor. He's a leader. If it had just been the first 40 years, he'd have never made it. If it had only been this one, he'd have never made it. But God took this and this and put it together and prepared him for the last 40 years. I showed this last week, but I'm going to show it again. God can use you. The next time you feel like God can't use you, Just remember.
Hate the wrong button.
Here it goes. Come on. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Anybody ever seen any of that? Here's my favorite. Lazarus was dead. Remember I told you last week? I can't tell you how many people have been blessed by this Bethany bracelet, with that either way I win or God's got this. They got them all over at the detention center, and a lot of the deputies are wearing these. Bethany's still speaking. She's gone, but she's still speaking. And it's amazing, because her faith impacted me so hard, I wanted to impact others the same way. So now, no more excuses. God can use you to your full potential. I promise you that. And remember, you aren't the message. You're just the messenger. Amen? So I'm going to tell you how to do this. Y'all ready? You know, I'm like, I'm you say, well, you tell us get ready, but then you don't tell us what to do. I'm telling you how to do it. Ready? Get ready. Come on. Here we go. Start out small. Start out small. God's working with you. Start out small. Because if you get a hit of God, let's say if Satan can't stop you. Here's a big one. Listen to me carefully. If Satan can't stop you, he will push you. This don't work. If this don't work, can't trip you up, he pushes you and gets you a hit of yourself. And if you get a hit of yourself, that's dangerous too, because now you're in over your head, and God ain't called you to do what you're doing, and now you're in big trouble because you messed up. So start small. And then here it is. Start. Get ready. Start smart. Start simple. And start strong. I need to write that down. Start smart, start simple, and start strong. This is going to take you a lot of places, and you're going to do a lot of things. If you can remember this in all that you do. Simply put, do small things in big ways. There was a statement given me years, years, years ago that changed my life. Man, did it change my life. And it was this. God wants you to do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Ordinary things in extraordinary ways. That's why God gives us power. So we can show the world what it's like when we're not operating on our own. We're operating on a higher power, a higher degree. Do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. God gets glorified, and something special happens. I had a guy come. I was at Bayview, and I was working at a fountain. It was amazing because any Sunday morning, every department in the fountain was represented at Bayview. And this one morning, one of the electrical guys came in, and I bet you we hadn't talked much that I know of. And he come in, and I spoke to him. We had a good time. The Lord blessed. And Monday, we went back to work, and he told me, he said, you know why I went church. I said, I hope to be blessed. He said, I watched you. I've been watching you. And he says, you don't do things like everybody else. I said, I thought somebody said it in the altar. He said, and what he said is this will be my prayer. He said, I want you to do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. And it's one in my heart. He says, God, that's what I want to be able to do. It's amazing because years later, just a couple weeks ago, I go to the Chinese restaurant, Chalk Way to eat, and he comes up to me. And he says, how you doing, man? I'm doing good. We were hugging. And he said, I went back to the fountain. I said, that's good. He says, you know where I'm at? I said, no, why don't you tell me? He says, I'm an engineer. And he said, I'm doing ordinary things. In extraordinary ways. Wow. So, that's just powerful. Matter of fact, I got a call from the funeral home. I said, we hate to disturb you, but we got a family here without a pastor. You know, I told them, I want you to quit. Apologize when you call me. They said, I know. I said, no. I said, listen, if you got a family that don't have a pastor, and you got a family that nobody wants, I said, call me. Just call me. I'll be there. And one of the guys told me, said, one reason we call you is because you do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Wow. That's not me. That's God.
That's right.
So, get ready. Start ASAP. Now, what's ASAP? ASP is seeking after God's authority and His power. Don't start until you sought Him and said, God, I need your authority. I need your mind on this, and I need your power. I need your authority and your mind. And your authority and your power. And if you don't get His mind on it, you're not going to get His authority. You're not going to get His power. So now, get ready. Ask yourself, have I settled into making excuses versus making it happen? Has my default become search for someone to blame versus someone to take responsibility? It is so easy to blame somebody else. So easy. But it's so hard to take their responsibility. Now, you can have results, you can have excuses, get rid of it again. You can have excuses, but you can't have both. This week's challenge. Refuse to look for excuses. Instead, look for reasons to get it done. Start ASAP. This will change your life and your effectiveness. You say, how am I going to get out and do this? Have you seen the people I work with? Have you seen the places that I go? Have you seen the guys of my crew? Have you seen the people at Walmart? Have you seen people working behind the counter at Lowe's? Again, anybody knows that the world's going crazy? And crazier since yesterday. Here's how you do it. You tell a worm you can spell. Number one, give your best. Number two, R, refuse to play the game. Anybody got the idea what you can spell? A, act through faith versus emotions. Stay calm. How's that word? Be an example. this week, whatever you do, give your best. Refuse to play that stupid game everybody's playing. Man, it's because of COVID. It's because of blah, 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 blah. I was going to court to get Bethany. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to court to get her at the time. I was just going to court to be there for her. I was with her 3 years going to court just to be there for her. I'd never even seen her. Except for some little bitty old picture. And I remember his family court, and I'd hear some of the wildest excuses. But my mama didn't change my diaper enough when I was little. I kid you not. My mama didn't change my diaper enough when I was little, and that's why I'm the way I am. Well, I didn't get fed the right formula. I'm going to kid you not. Some stuff I heard. And one day I really, 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 it blew me away. The woman stood up, the mother, and she had a 15-year-old daughter. And she said, Judge, I'm giving my daughter to you. And the judge said, excuse me. She said, I can't do anything with her. I don't want her anymore. She's yours. If I'm lying, that's what she told the judge. And the judge says, can you come here a little bit? She said, woman, come here a little bit. She said, ma'am, you take your daughter home. And you get a mama to her. That's incorrect. You get a mama to her. And says, if she commits any more crimes, you're going to pay. It's not her. Because you should have started this a long time ago, being her mother. And if that McGavin said, I don't want to see you in here again. Pop! Wow. No excuses. Reasons, not excuses. Everybody stay. Reasons, not going here, bro. Please. Reasons, not excuses. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I'm going to ask, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not as close to God. I know you say it all the time. Well, it's because we just say it all the time. God, Pastor, I'm not as close to God as I would like to be. And I would really, really, really like to grow closer to Him. But nobody looked around, every eye closed, every head bowed. We put a hand up and said, pray for me, Pastor. I really want to get closer to God. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, bless Him. Maybe you're here today, and you find yourself in this crazy world getting caught up in the excuse game. Everything's an excuse. Got an excuse for everything. Not a reason, an excuse. I always thought about it this way too, and I've read it too. If you don't want to do it, you can come up with an excuse. If you do want to do it, you find a way. Find yourself caught up in the excuse game. You find yourself living in shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and what ifs. And you just keep building excuse after excuse after excuse. And you want that to stop. You want God to work through you. You want to start ASAP. And you want to do it through grace. Nobody looking around, every head bowed, but you just raise that hand and say, I've got it. I got to move forward. I've got to stop the excuses. Put his hands up. I got to stop those excuses. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless him. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And there's nothing that you cannot do. Father, ask you to touch this congregation right now.
and administer my atonement in the name of Jesus.
Y'all pray this with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, that you didn't make a mistake, but you planted me. That you got me. And I thank you, God. I know that you're awesome. And I trust you. Help me and not find mistakes, or excuse me, excuses. Help me not to find excuses, but help me find reasons to move forward. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. Brother Jim, would you message some prayer, please?
Father, thank you for grace, thank you for mercy, especially for our excuses for our support, our gifts, and our supports. Thank you.